Praise God. For those of you that are signed up for a grow group, the books, a lot of them do DVDs and books, and they're in the bookstore, and you have to go pick them up. So if a class is starting or your group starts Wednesday, it's a good idea to get the book today so you can read the chapter. Ta-da! All right, so that's your homework. So my guys, pick up your books. So it's not just me blabbing here. I do want to say just we've had grow groups forever, and some of you have been doing one forever. Eric and Lucy and Pat Lazat have been doing one forever. Joanne, you're next to forever. She's having a grow group at her house. And, you know, it's just been great to open up your doors. I clean the bathroom. I shove everything underneath the sofa. And I go, come on in, everybody. And some days I'm just offering you water. I didn't even get around to breaking out the pretzels. And, oh, I don't make cookies. I think about it. But anyway, so avail the grow groups and just have a great old time. Okay, today we're going to wrap up our series. We're going to close our series on valleys. Everybody say valleys. All right. And valleys have to do about giving you hope when you encounter some tough moments in life. Anybody ever have a tough moment in life? Just one? Yes, you know, I've probably had more than one, all right? So this is, we've been going through four of the major valleys that you'll read in your Bible. And the valleys that we read in our Bible are actually places. You can go to Israel and see them, all right? They're actually places where real events happened. But these valleys, we're going to take them and we're going to learn something from them. And the valleys actually represent when you go through some difficult times. So when the Bible, these stories always have a story behind the story about going through difficult times. And then how many of you like being on the hilltops, the mountaintops? God, I want to pitch a tent up there. And you know, those are great. That happens to deal with when life's good. And praise the Lord. Yesterday, life was really good. I just had a great day. So praise the Lord. But occasionally we're going to encounter valleys. So we're going to talk about that. Week number one was probably the foundation. Week number one, if you weren't there, I'm just going to give you it in one sentence. We found out that God is the God of the valleys. Oh, valleys are that way. Sorry. Valleys and the hilltops. Okay. Yeah. Dyslexia kicked in there. And you know what that says? It doesn't matter where I'm in life. God wants to have me connect with him. And he'll get you through it. So that is just the, like, okay, we can do it, Dee. We can do it because God's up there on the hilltops and he's also on the valleys. All righty. Today, we're going to talk about our last one. This is our wrap up. All right. Accent, I'm going to say the word, shittim. S-H-I-T-T-I-M. Okay? Keep the accent on the right place. The valley of the shittim. I'm sitting there, Lord, let me not say this bad today, all right? I'm going to really work at this, all right? So the Valley of Shittim, S-H-I-T-T-I-M, all righty. We're going to be looking at a couple of stories that happen in this valley, a couple of stories. And what we're going to see is in this valley, if you end up in this valley or you have valley times where you're down in the valley, this is a place where you get to connect with God and he will get you through. We're going to learn how we connect with God and we're going to learn how we can do things to get through the Valley of Shittim. All righty. Praise the Lord. Now, even though it's called the Valley of Shittim, if I had to tell you what it really means in my life as a pastor, it's called the Valley of I'm overwhelmed in life. I am having an overwhelming possible meltdown, overwhelming circumstances. The problems are overwhelming. And this is what we're going to see in this valley. All righty. Now, the great thing is in the middle of this valley, when you're in there, it's one of those overwhelming things where you've done all that you know to do. And I'm a fixer. Let's just get to it. I make my phone calls. Let's fix it. I've done all that I know to do to fix it. I've gotten every scripture that I know that has to do with this situation. And I still find myself there and it looks like nothing's changing. So this is the Valley of Shittim. This is overwhelming circumstances where it looks like nothing's changing. Alrighty, now you may be in that valley today. You may have kids or grandkids and you don't like what they're doing, and you've been praying and you've been speaking the promises of God about your kids or your grandkids, and looks like nothing's changing. You are now in the Valley of Shittim. It could be, I was just trying to think of some examples, finances. You are in the Valley of Shittim with your finances, and it looks like nothing is turning around. You've done everything you can do, and you are in that valley. It could be you need a job, and you need things to change in your job. Or it could be with a relationship. God, you need to change that person. You need to shake them up. You need to fix them up. And it looks like you've done all that you know to do, and nothing's changing. Okay? So this is the Valley of Shittim we're going to talk about, alrighty? And I hate to tell you, but I changed my good confession. I love to be the person of bearing good news, but you might find yourself in a Valley of Shittim sometimes where you've done all that you know to do. You've prayed, you've sought God, and it looks like nothing's changing. Don't you like that word? I'm looking at Ellen, and she's going, Shittim. Okay. All right. Pastor D. Praise the Lord. Hey, guys, can you pop that first picture up there of the Valley of Shittim? You know, it's so funny. I don't know. Wave your hand if you're on that side. There's a body over there. And I'm like, are they there? And they're up there. Okay, praise the Lord. So we have two stories we're going to talk about that take place in the Valley of Shittim. The Valley of Shittim is actually a really famous place with some famous stories that happen. Ta-da! All right, can you put up the next one of the Acacia trees? So in this Valley of Shittim, what's very famous, some very famous events took place. It's also covered with Acacia trees. And these Acacia trees you'll find all over, and they're huge. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Don't you like visuals? Right? Right? Praise the Lord. Now, these Acacia trees actually play a very important part of the two events or the two stories we're going to talk about. So these trees here, all righty? Now, when I get ready to prepare a lesson, I go, God, what's the one thing I can get across that will give you understanding, that'll change you, that you'll get, as opposed to I can have 100 things and I'll be all over the page, which some days you might even think she is, but really I'm not. So today, here's my one main idea, the big idea that I want you to walk out so that you'll have change in your life. Okay, if you're taking notes, you get to write this down. Here it goes. When you want to give up, anybody ever have a day when you just want to give up? When you want to give up, it's time to lift up God. Okay? Now, for some of you, you're like, well, of course, Pastor D, I know that. But I'm going to go through, I believe as we go through this lesson, I'm going to help you, or I believe you're going to get to even a higher level of doing that. So when you want to give up, that's when you're in the Valley of Shittim. And then we're going to talk about, and while you're there, it's time to lift up God. It's time to lift up God. So what is lifting up God? Well, it's praising Him. God, it's worshiping Him, it's magnifying Him. Right when you're in the middle of that valley, when you're in the middle of the valley, you're worshiping Him, and you know what? That's when God comes in. He does amazing things in you and through you. And I want to tell you, God is amazing. That's who He is, and He loves to do that in your life. But there's some things that we need to do, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Alrighty? So, the two events we're going to talk about in the Bible, they both have this same instrument. It's not a musical instrument, but it's more like God told the Israelites to make something. And He told them to make the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody ever hear about the Ark of the Covenant? It's a box in the Holy of Holies, okay? So, and can you pop up that picture? The hand in the back? Wave that hand again. Turn around, everybody. See that hand? There's someone really active there. All right. All right. This is a picture, you know, to the best of back then they didn't have iPhones to go take a picture, right? So this is the best that actually people that have studied the Bible, there's dimensions to this. It's written in the Bible, how big, how wide, what was in it. So this is an artist that drew this. I think it's pretty good compared to my drawing. You should see what I drew. All righty. Now, this is the Ark of the Covenant. And God told Moses that he would speak to him in the middle of these angelic beings. So in other words, God told Moses, I want you to build this box, this Ark of the Covenant, and my presence would be there. I would speak to you there. So how many of you would want to be there? Okay, well, so God told him, you know, I want you to build this, the Ark of the Covenant, all right, and I'm going to speak to you and going to give you some instructions there. Now, how would you like to have your instructions there in the morning? I'm just going to go get the box and I'll get my instructions for the day. But really, in all seriousness, this was a serious thing, and this is where God told Moses to meet with him there. His presence would be there. Now, do you know what the box was made out of? Kind of interesting. Bible trivia, here we go. Wood. Good, you got 5 points. Acacia wood. All right, we are talking about the acacia tree. And the acacia tree was found in the Valley of Shittim. Okay, so that's where they were. And they were told to build this out of acacia wood. And do you know what else God told them to do with the wood? He said, I want you to overlay the wood with gold. Yeah, you saw the picture. Overlay the wood with gold. Overlay the poles with gold. And gold in the Bible represents God. God is pure. God is just amazing. Gold represents telling of God's presence. It's like a type and shadow. It's a type and shadow of God's presence. God's going to show up. So here we have this box that God told Moses to build. He told him also to cover it, and it represents God's presence. God's going to show up. Everybody say, God is going to show up. All right. Now, I love God because he gives directions. And he says, I'm going to give you directions on how you're to carry this thing around. And there was only one way you were to transport this box, this Ark of the Covenant. All right, it was going to be on poles, and only the priests were allowed to carry it. They put the poles on their shoulders, and they would carry it. Because remember, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, so they're moving this thing around. So only the priests were allowed to carry this. Now, how many of you know that the day you received Jesus Christ into your life, the day you became a believer, guess what else you became? The Bible calls you priest. You have a priestly ministry. Say, I'm a priest because I've received Jesus. So that's what the Bible says. You've become priests. And one of the main things that you as Christians, as in your ministry as a priest, one of the main things that you are to do is to praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, worship the Lord. That's one of the main priestly duties. And guess what? It's one of our main things that we are to do is to worship the Lord. So therefore, I appreciate my worship team because they sound good and I can kind of jump in and hide behind them. All right. But I actually have my own worship time. All right. And you probably don't want to listen to me. I think I sound darn good. All right. And because I'm doing my priestly ministry, I'm singing unto the Lord. And my favorite spot is every day when I come to work is I'll get through the light at the square of York, New Salem. By the time I sail down that hill, I hope Jesus is still in the car with me. I am just singing my heart and praising the Lord. I just something about that. I'm looking at the sky and these fields here, and I am just having a great old time. So I praise the Lord in my car, and I praise him in my house, especially in the shower. But I do that because it's part of my priestly ministry and other things. And now let me tell you this. Guess what happens when you do that? When you're praising the Lord, when you're worshiping him, you're magnifying, guess what happens? It's Psalm, write this down. Psalm 22 verse 3. It says, and you all know this, God inhabits the praises of his people. So God, when I'm worshiping him, he inhabits. Okay, what's that word inhabit mean? He comes in the middle of it. He's there. He's like, he's sitting down with me. He's in the car seat with me, all right? So when you begin to worship and praise the Lord, God inhabits. He comes alongside. He's in there praising you. So there's just something so incredible about you and I when we praise the Lord. The presence of God comes. Write that down, guys. Put that on the refrigerator. Nevin, we won't ever have a Sunday with people standing with their hands in the pockets now. During worship, Robert, right? Because they know God inhabits their praises. They're all just going to be woohoo from now on. Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty. Now, in both of our stories that we're going to talk about, and the Ark of the Covenant and the Valley Shittim, the priests are the ones that carry it, right? And you know what this is a type of? It's a type of you and I, God inhabiting our praise, God inhabiting our praise. It's a type where you start magnifying God and praising Him and worshiping Him. It's a type of God's presence coming when you do that. It's a type of God doing, going to do some things in the middle of your praising Him. So we're talking about the Valley Shittim, when you're in some places that are difficult and overwhelming. But this is what we're going to do. All right. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, first event. We're going to talk about two stories in the Bible, two events. The first one, you ready? It's about Joshua. All right, Joshua. Moses has passed away. He's got all these Jews. He's got a couple million of them. He's got to get them someplace. Where does he have to get them? He has to get them into the promised land. Joshua's the leader. He's got to get them into the promised land. They have been wandering around for 40 years. And now God says to Joshua, I want you to cross the Jordan River. And I want you to go into the promised land and take it. All right. No problem. I can handle those directions. Only problem is, guys, they got one big problem. The Jordan River. The Jordan River is at flood stage. Okay, can I have my picture, the guy behind the scene? Oh, looks like whitewater rafting, right? Perfect. No. All righty. So here we go. They've got this problem, and it's flood stage. The Jordan River is a mile wide and 20 feet deep, and the waters during flood stays, it's during harvest seasons, the waters are moving 10 miles an hour. So I'm sitting here, I read that, and I'm like, that's all right. I drive 10 miles an hour once in a blue moon, no big deal. No, no, no. Listen, how many of you watched all the reports about Hurricane Harvey and Irma? Okay, it's just horrible. Continue to pray. Let God speak to your heart. But they, you know, one of the shows was talking, the experts said, when waters are moving at 10 miles an hour, which I'm thinking, oh, no big deal. Do you know what it's equivalent to? The wind blowing 290 miles per hour. So what was a class 4 or 5 hurricane? It was like 160, 170 miles an hour, right? Class 4. Those were class, they were supposed to be class 4, but they were only 180. Okay, this is 290 miles an hour. It's equivalent to that. That's what's going on here. Now, I have been in winds like about 50 miles an hour, and you're just kind of hanging on, and it's a little pretty scary, right? This is, this water is moving 290 miles an hour, okay? And God gives some directions. What does He say? Hey, Joshua, get all these Jewish Jews across this river so you can go into the promised land. That was the directions, right, guys? So Joshua's probably thinking, okay, God, we need a little help. This is not looking good. And God gives him the directions. You ready? I love that God gives directions. He says, I want you to get the priests, and they're going to carry the ark on their shoulder, and they're to walk into the water. Did you look at that water? Okay, what were the instructions? Get the priest, carry the ark, and they're to walk in the water. Now, can you imagine being one of the priests? You're like, whoa, right? It's a whoa time, all righty? And you're like, walk into the water. Joshua, you sure you heard these instructions? And guys, guess how they did it? They had to do it by faith. They had to do it by faith. And listen, when you're in the Valley of Shittim and you are in the middle of overwhelming circumstances, it will take faith to praise the Lord, not for the problem, but to praise Him that He's your Father, that He loves you, that He is going to give you a way through, He's going to empower you. It takes faith, all right? So when you find yourself and you have done everything that you know to do, you're in the middle of knee deep of you know what, and you have done everything, you've tried fixing everything, you've spoken every prayer that you know, and you can't, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. What did they do? It took faith. Because the ark represented the presence of God, and it also talks about worship. So it takes faith to worship God in the middle of your overwhelming circumstances, right? Amen, Pastor D. Thanks. I needed that. Okay. Turn over to Joshua chapter 3, verses 14, 15, 16, 17. Somewhere like that. Joshua chapter 3. You know what's so cool? Those priests actually did it. Joshua got the instructions. Joshua looks at the priests and he says, okay, guys, get the ark and go. And they did it. They did it. Okay, now we're going to see what happened. Praise the Lord. Joshua 3, 14. So when the people broke up camp and crossed the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan was at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priest carried the Ark, reached the Jordan River, their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. That's bananas. Okay, verse 17. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle and stood on dry ground. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that amazing? Now listen, if this was me as the priest, I would have had my, this is me. Oh, ye of little faith here. I have faith, little faith. I would have had my eyes closed. Okay, we're marching in. I would have had my eyes closed and I would have been singing loud. God is my God. He's never going to leave me. I would be worshiping. And they made it through and God dried it up. I just think that's fantastic. Praise the Lord. So what was going on there? God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits your praise, okay? You know what that's really a picture of? You and I lifting up our voices to God. You and I praising God in the middle of your tough, overwhelming circumstances. That's really what this is a picture of for you and I. Amen. And it's also a picture of you, and like I said, I probably would have, it's okay. I probably would have had my eyes closed and going, God, you're a good God. I worship you. I praise you. I praise you for your goodness. I praise you, Lord. You're so wonderful that you never leave me. I praise you. And my trust is in, first foot in, you. And then I still have my eyes closed probably. And I was walking in going, oh my gosh, I'm still alive. But really, I really think they were more developed than I was. Close their eyes. Well, they probably opened their eyes, I don't know, and walked in praising the Lord. So when you're in the valley of Shittim and you are in some really overwhelming circumstances, what do you need to do? Start worshiping and praising God for who he is and how much he loves you and that he's going to be with you. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. After they got through this, you would have thought, it's vacation. Right? No. Right after they get through this, God tells them to do something immediately after there. He tells them, I want you guys to go to the city of Jericho. What? We didn't get a vacation? Nope. He tells Joshua and tell all of Israel, it's time to go to the city of Jericho. Now, we have a problem with the city of Jericho. It's a walled city. It's a city with a big wall on it. You guys want to pop our picture up? We tried to find pictures, praise the Lord. All right, that one's pretty good. The other one looked like knights and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, the walls are said to be 26 feet high, 6 feet wide, and they say they actually had little apartments inside. All righty? And here's the children of Israel. They're in the Valley Shittim, and they have actually no ability to get over that, to get through that. They probably have swords and arrows and javelins, okay? But really, they don't have the ability to get through that, take that city because of that walls, all righty? And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, action plan. We could probably scale the wall, right? Come on, guys. Well, they probably would have shot arrows over you. Right? They probably would have dumped boiling oil on top of you. All righty? And yet God says, I want you to take that city. That's pretty clear directions, right? I want you to take that city. All righty. So this is probably Joshua running back, and he goes, okay, God, how do we do that? And you know, God's so good. He gives them the plan. And now I'm telling you the stories you already knew. If you got raised in my children's ministry, you know this story. The rest of you, I'm pretty sure you do. But he says, I want you to have a parade around that city of Jericho, because the walls circled that whole city. He said, it's parade day. We're going to parade. And the first people in the parade are the trumpet players. I want you to have all the trumpet players first. And guess who comes next? Yeah, the priests. The priest worshiping, all right? The priest with the ark on their shoulders. Okay, what's that ark represent? Presence of God. Okay, and some of the priestly ministry is to be worshipers. Okay, so we've got the trumpet players first. We've got the priest second. And then he says, I want the army behind you. And you are, okay, so the rest of the directions are, you are to have a parade once a day. You're to walk around the building once. For the first 6 days, you're to walk around there once. There you go. For the first 6 days, you walk around there once. On the seventh day, how many times do you walk around it? Good, you know your Bible story. So on the directions change. On the seventh day, you're to walk around it seven times. And then you're to blow the trumpets and start shouting. How many of you know that part of the story? Okay, but God gives one more instruction, okay? And it's really an important one. It's probably the one I mess up a lot, all right? Anybody want to guess what that instruction was? No talking. Yeah, no talking as you go around there for the first 6 days once, and no talking when you go around there 7 days. Seven times on that seventh day, all righty? Now, why? Okay, can you imagine God gives them the instructions, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and no talking. And can you imagine if these guys were allowed to talk? Can you imagine what they'd be saying? Joshua's been out in the sun way too long. Wait, what are we going to do? They can't. What's a trumpet? What's singing praises going to do? Man, what is he thinking? All right. There's no way. There's no way we're going to take down these walls. All righty. So, you know what we learn from this? You and I need to learn from this. Well, I'm learning this. Okay. You ready? Well, number one, again, the ark represents God shows up. The ark represents God's presence. The ark represents that we give praise and worship to God. Okay. But here's the most important things. This tells us that when you are in overwhelming circumstances, and I don't know what's going on in your life. Today, I don't have one of those overwhelming circumstances, but last week I did. So when I'm in the middle of those overwhelming circumstances, this represents you are to not say negative things out of your mouth. You are not to spew negative things. Okay, what do you mean? Well, where's God? Okay, gosh, my life's going to be a mess. I'll never get through with this. I'll never have that. And how come this? And poor me. Those are negative things. By the way, Tuesday morning at 9:30, we have a ladies' grow group, and they're doing Joyce Meyer's book called Me and My Big Mouth. And it's all about this coming out of your mouth, all right? So I'll just put a check in there. Okay. Now, I have to say this. So you're in the middle of these overwhelming circumstances. I don't know what you're going through in life or what's coming down the road, but you don't deny that you're in circumstances, okay? We're not in the denial, all right? And you should go do your homework, and you should try to figure out all the plans, right? You do that. You're just not a space cadet when you're in the middle of this, all righty? But there's a difference between preparing and there's a difference between letting all this junk loose out of your mouth. What's junk loose? Anything that's negative. Anything that's opposite of what God wants you to say. All righty? Now, if you've got negative things coming out of your mouth, guess what you don't have coming out of your mouth? That, you know, if you got this, then you're not going, God, I just worship you. I praise you that you're my Father, that you said you'd never leave me. I worship you and I praise you that you have a plan, that it's a good plan, and that you're going to take care of me. God, I just want to praise you. Okay, if you got negative junk out of your mouth, then you're not going to say that kind of stuff. You can't have both of them. Okay, you just can't. You're either all over here or all over there. And I have had to work really hard at this in the middle of my circumstances, is to remember, stop complaining. And any of you that have had conversations to me, and I start that, I'll catch myself. I'll go, oops, that was a complaint. Forgive me. God, forgive me. And then I'll have some of the praise God stuff come out of my mouth. I am on it. Alrighty, let's turn to Joshua. Let's read Joshua 6:20 now. Okay, Joshua 6:20. These are the instructions, Joshua 6:20. When the trumpet sounded, that's after they walked around seven times, when the trumpet sounded and the army shouted and the sound of the trumpets went, the men gave a loud shout and the wall collapsed so that everyone charged straight in and they took the city. Man, guys, I believe God's got cities for you to take, so to speak. And it will take praise and worship out of your mouth. You should write that down. I'm taking a city. I am taking a city. That thing that's held me down, no, I am taking a city because God's going to be with me as I worship him. Alrighty. Archaeologists actually have undug this wall, and what they found out when the archaeologists were digging around, they said that the wall did not collapse this way. I don't know how they figured that out. And the wall didn't cave in this way or cave out that way. What they found out is the wall, there was like a force, and it just was pushed straight down. I'm just saying. Sound like God? Who could do that? Only God could do that. Only God could do that. Okay, and then they rushed in. And when you have, their overwhelming odds were those walls. And what did God have them do? I want you to get those guys up there praising the Lord and shouting, our God is mighty. Our God is the Lord. Amen? So when you're in the Valley of Shittim, time to give him some praise and worship. Alrighty. I've got one more story to tell you. It's not one of these, what's she talking about? She's kind of out there, ethereal. Okay, I'm going to really spell this one out. It's taking place with the king of Judah. His name is Jehoshaphat. Anybody ever hear of Jehoshaphat in your Bible? Good, 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 good. King Jehoshaphat. At that time, when King Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, they had three nations and their armies that are going to go attack little old Judah, okay, the Israelites here. And at that time, their army was really weak. That's not a good thing when you've got three nations going to go charge up on their armies on you, right? So that's not a good thing. So you know what the king does, Jehoshaphat? He starts praying. Anybody ever do those prayers? Oh God, oh God. Yeah, oh God, we're going to get killed if you don't help. And then my next prayer is, oh God, help. Anybody do the help prayer? I think that's the most wonderful prayer. Oh God, help. Okay, and actually, the nation starts fasting and praying. And guess what happens? God speaks to them. Actually, God sends a prophet. So God spoke to the prophet, and he gives them the instructions. Okay, God will speak to people, and he'll give you the instructions. And now, God can just speak to us, by the way. All right, I'm ahead of myself. Okay, look at 2 Chronicles. You're over there. 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. These are these off-the-chart, incredible instructions. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, 15. This is the prophet speaking, okay, that God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet speaks to the king. And he says, pay attention, all you people of Judah, residents of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. I think he nails everybody, right? This is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid. Don't panic because of this huge army, for the battle is not yours, but God. So they're in the Valley of Shittim. They've got three armies that are ready to just wipe them out. And the Lord says the battle's God's. Or the prophet says the battle's God's. That's pretty cool. Okay, now listen to verse 17. You will not fight this battle. Take your position, stand, and watch the Lord deliver you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Tomorrow, watch out towards them. Tomorrow, march out towards them. The Lord is with you. Okay. You know what God's telling them? Zip your lip, right? Zip it up, okay? And guys, I really believe, and I've had this happen in my own life, that we actually stop God. We actually stop God from doing what he wants to do because we're saying things that are just so negative. And you know what it means when I'm saying things that are negative? It means I don't trust God. I don't trust God. That's what it means, okay? And so therefore, I don't trust God and I'm spewing out. Wah, 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 wah. Okay? So he's saying, hey, when you're overwhelmed, trust God. When you're overwhelmed, trust God. All right, let's jump down to verse 21. Verse 21, 2 Chronicles 20, 21. These are the next instructions. All right. He met with the people and appointed the musicians to play before the Lord, praises and majestic splendor. And as they marched ahead of the warriors, they said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loyal love endures. Give thanks to the Lord. Basically, give thanks to the Lord. He's going to do it. All righty. Now, if I were to picture that story today, I would have my worship team up front. They'd be up front, all the worship team. Don't you love our worship teams? They'd be the guys that are up front of the army. The worship team's first, then the army. And the worship teams, they're singing, oh, God, you're so good. God, you're so faithful. You love us. We're your favorites. They're just singing. And the army's behind them, okay? And they're walking into three nations and they're powerful armies. Now, can you imagine what those three armies are thinking? And they're watching this little weak army with the singers that are out. Nothing against you guys. But the singers are out front. They're probably like, piece of cake, man. We got this. Right? They're probably thinking, this is easy. We'll be home before lunch. Right? So we got the worship team. They're walking out front of the army. And the army's behind them. And they're all praising, then singing. Oh, my gosh. That's sort of like the priests carrying the ark. Gee whiz, that's sort of like the walls of Jericho coming down again, right? It's the same thing going on. Okay, listen to verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Verse 23, the Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The place went bananas. It was like insanity plus. You got your enemy armies. That's basically, they just killed one another. All right, now think about it. Israel never had to lift a sword. Israel never shot any arrows, okay? They never fought, right? They never fought. And there was no fighting. But who worked on their behalf? Who went on their behalf? God did, okay? And God began to do the things that they couldn't do in his power. Because, one, they followed the instructions, and the instructions were pretty easy. Just go out there singing and praising the Lord. All right? You know, it's pretty easy. It's not weird. Guys, it's not weird to praise the Lord. It's not weird. It's not weird. Okay? Praise the Lord. All righty. So what's God trying to say to you and I when we find ourselves in the Valley of Shittim, when you have done everything that you know to do, when you have done everything and it looks like it's not changing? What does God ask us to do? He asks you to lift him up, give him praise. I'm not praising him. I got this situation going on. All right? God's a good God, but I'm praising Him because He is my God. He loves me. He fights the battles for me. He's going to bring me through that. I worship You. You're the God, and You're a goodness God. Good God. You're a good, good God. Praise the Lord. So what do you do when you're in the valley of Shittim? It's time to lift up God. What do you do when it looks bad? Anybody have some bad going on? It looks bad. And the odds are against you. Okay, you got something in the mail. And it looks bad. Okay, and what do you do when you want to give up? It's time to lift up God. All righty? And we're going to do that in a few moments. Come on up. But we're gonna lift up God in a few minutes. But really, guys, this is Sunday. It's church. And that's awesome. But what do you do the rest of the week? I'm not giving you the code to get into the building. You'd probably set the alarm off. We are best buddies with the Manchester police. We've set this alarm off, okay? So what do you do? You have to get to a place when you where you're in these overwhelming circumstances and you are going to lift Him up, all right? And so what do you do when things need to change? And you've done everything you know to do, and it's not changing. Anybody have a situation, and you've been doing the doing and the doing, and it's not changing? Well, it's time to lift up God. It's time to praise Him, all right? It's time to, oh, I love Jesus. He's first in my heart. It's time to trust Him. It's time to trust Him, okay? And listen, He is a God that cannot lie. He doesn't lie. You may lie, I may lie, but He's a God that doesn't lie. So can you trust Him? You can trust Him. He's good, He's faithful, all right? And I'm telling you, you should see me driving down that, what do I live on, 616? 616, by the time I hit that bottom of that thing, I thank Jesus He's driving my car now. I am just praising Him. I just love to worship Him. This morning in my house, I got a CD player going on. I pop a CD in, I'm just singing to Him. Just sing to Him. And then the CD runs out and I'm just still having a great old time worshiping Him. All right? You got to get to a place where you walk in your priestly ministry and you start worshiping Him when you get into these situations. All righty? So we're going to have a moment in a moment. Oh, Mom, thank you. When all else fails, get... No, not all else fails. Praise God. Okay, but before we get Kathy and Vanessa singing, would you guys just close your eyes and bow your heads in reverence? We're going to go into the throne room of God. And you come boldly, but you come in reverence. You're going in there, all right? And I just want to ask a question. You know I ask this every week, but if you're not sure of your eternity, if you're not sure after you heard this great message, and if you're not sure if you have a connection with God, I would like you to be 100% sure that you've connected with Him, that you've received God, Jesus, into your life. And you might have walked in here and said, Pastor D, I don't know if I believe this stuff. Or you might have walked in here and said, Pastor D, my life's a mess. Guess what? There's nobody perfect in this place. We have a sign. If you're perfect, you can't come here. No, we don't. I'm only kidding. But listen, there's nobody perfect but Him. Right? And I want to tell you something. He loves it when we're a mess. He loves it when we're a mess. He's here to help us, all righty? So Jesus died, and He died for us. Jesus died so that God could forgive you. Praise the Lord. Jesus died on that cross so that He would forgive your sins, and He would forgive the sins of the world. Jesus died for you. So if you're here today, just a simple question. Do you ever remember a moment in your life where you prayed and you said, Jesus Christ, You're the Savior. I accept You. I accept You. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I never prayed that prayer. I know that, never prayed that prayer. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, but you know what? I'd like to do that. I would like to have a knowing that I am connected with God, that He would always help me walk through these places. Well, can we all pray this prayer? So if you've never prayed this prayer, We're all going to pray it with you. And I want you to pray it so you can hear it. So that means I can hear it too. All right, so you have to open your mouth and speak some words. So let's just pray this. Lord God, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. This day I give my heart and my life to Jesus. And Jesus, I believe you died for me and the whole world. And I give you my heart and I make a decision to be yours today. Okay. Now with everybody's head bowed still. If you prayed that for the very first time, can I tell you a miracle took place in your life? And for most of us, we never saw a miracle. We just didn't look any different. And you may walk out of here and think, well, I don't feel any difference. I don't feel difference because I prayed that prayer. Well, I'll tell you a miracle took place. And you don't have to feel it. But God has forgiven you of your sins. He's forgiven you of all your mess ups that are even coming down the road. He's forgiven you, and you are His child. You are heaven bound, and Jesus is your Lord. Isn't that awesome? Everybody just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen for being our Savior. Amen.